the Extra Magic Hour, a Disney Parks podcast. Here are your hosts, Anne Ravanos and Dimitri Ravanos.
All right, welcome to another edition of the Extra Magic Hour. I am Dimitri.
I'm Anne.
And Kat's here, too.
Hi, everyone.
Hooray! The first time all three of us are back together in a while, so a lot to get to, obviously. Kat, let's jump into the news.
Okay, sounds good. So, as everyone knows, this Thursday is the last day for wishes at Magic Kingdom. Are you guys sad about that?
I am. Are you?
I'm really sad. I mean, I'm kind of excited for this new show, but...
Have you heard the new song?
No, I've been trying to avoid, like, seeing anything with Happily Ever After because I kind of want to wait until I can see it in person.
Yeah.
But Disney is live streaming Happily Ever After on Friday. And so I'm kind of like, well, usually those live streams are pretty good and they do the shows justice. So I'm thinking I'm going to watch it.
I believe some rehearsal footage leaked out this week. I think, is it WDWMagic.net? I think has some leaked rehearsal footage.
Yeah, I think they did.
I listened to, because Disney Parks released like a little sample of what the new song is, and I'm not sure if this is a song that's going to be played during the show or if it's like, you know, that version of Wishes, if you bought the Wishes soundtrack,
yes.
It has a poppy over. I'm not sure if that was the version they released. I'm hoping that was the version they released, because if not, I don't know, just from the little bit I heard, that I'm a big fan of the song. So I'm hoping it's just like what would be on the like CD release. It's very, very modern pop. It doesn't sound like a Disney show.
Is it?
Yes.
I wish.
No, I agree with you, Anne, because that's the only thing I heard, and that's when I decided that I wasn't going to watch it or, like, do anything with it until I saw it.
Yeah.
And so, because I was like, I don't like this.
Yeah, I didn't like it either.
Because that was one of the things about Wishes that I loved is... the music, like, it was just, I don't know, it brought in all the classic Disney songs, but also, like, revamped them a little bit.
It sounded like classic Disney, which was, like, why I liked it so much. It wasn't this super modern thing, you know?
Yeah.
It even sounded like the walking right down the middle of Main Street USA singers.
Yeah, exactly.
I love those guys, too.
All right, what else is in the news?
So there is a... did you guys hear that American Idol is now going to be on ABC?
I did. I saw this announcement today.
It was a rumor this morning, and then somebody at work today was like, oh, my gosh, it's confirmed. They're doing American Idol on ABC, which I'm not a huge fan of, but apparently...
Yeah, I was gonna ask, is there still a big fan base for American Idol?
That's what this article says. It says that even though the season ended last year, there's just been lots of talk of American Idol in the past year. So,
I don't know if there's a huge fan base still for American Idol specifically, but I think as long as The Voice keeps getting big audiences, there will be enough. That audience is big enough that some will bleed over to American Idol. Plus, didn't Ryan Seacrest just sign a deal to become Kelly Ripa's co-host, so now he's part of the Disney family? This doesn't surprise me at all.
Yeah. He did. Well, and he talked about it yesterday on Live with Kelly and Ryan. He was like, it's still a rumor, but I would be willing to host it if it does become true.
Uh-huh.
And then this morning, or this afternoon, they announced that they signed the contract.
So I'm guessing the Tide of the Parks is this rumor that it's going to be filmed at Disney. Is that true?
No, they're going to have auditions at Disney World. And the opening of this article was hilarious. So I just want to read it out loud so everybody can laugh with me. Hopefully you guys find it funny too. It says, trying to plan a vacation but can't decide between a theme park adventure or launching your singing career. Lucky for you. Not only has Disney-owned ABC managed to get their hands on American Idol, but they'll be holding the show's auditions at Walt Disney World.
Well, I don't know about you guys, but that's always been a big thing for me when I'm planning a vacation.
That's why we go to visit you in Nashville so often.
That's what I said. I wanted to audition for the American Idol experience, but my mom and dad never let me.
So where are they going to hold the auditions that it wouldn't completely clog up the park for a day?
I don't know, because it doesn't say where. It just says...
Oh, you know what just dawned on me? Oh, man. This solves the problem of what they are going to do with the Lanuba space for a while.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I thought they were coming up with a new Cirque du Soleil show, though.
But do we know for sure that they have one ready?
No, we don't.
I mean, at the very least, this will fill the space for a while with auditions. Wait, are these the only auditions that they're going to do?
It says that they could possibly be in Disneyland as well.
I think that maybe for a couple of weeks, this would probably be carryover while they get a new show ready. And then maybe, like, I wouldn't be surprised if a new season ends up filming in Orlando, because it would be something that would get people, I don't know if it would get people down to the parks, like, to travel down there, but I think that it would be the kind of thing that if you're in the parks and they are selling tickets to a taping of American Idol, I bet more people would do that than had bought tickets to Lanuba in a long time.
Yeah, probably.
Interesting.
Yeah, so... if you guys want to do some Disney, not karaoke, but Disney auditions, this is what you do.
All right. What else is in the news?
So this is kind of a rumor, but not really. So Disney has sent out surveys asking about Figment. Have you guys seen this?
No.
Yeah, I did. I saw it yesterday.
Okay, so this the website that I got this off of, it shows two screenshots of the survey, and they were just like the last two questions of this particular survey, and it has a picture of Figment, and it says, please tell us how familiar you are with Figment, and like the choices are never heard of him but don't know much, know a little, and know a lot. And then the last question is, how much do you personally like Figment? And it's like a 1 to 10 scale rating.
This is the beginning of the new Epcot, where everything is going to be tied to an established intellectual property of some sort.
Yeah, well, that's what this says. It said, Bob Chapek officially announced that they're hard at work to conduct a massive overhaul, and so probably Figment is one who's going to leave if he doesn't get positive reviews on the survey.
Well, you know, it's going to be interesting to see. I would be interested to see, not that Disney would ever release this, but how this survey breaks down along age lines. Because I would bet people, Kat, I would bet you are the youngest possible age. You're 24, right?
Yes.
Yeah, you are the youngest possible age that would have a favorable view of Figment.
Yeah, I mean, I am not a huge fan of the ride, but... I remember my mom talking to me about Figment, not just at Disney World, but at home. Mm-hmm. So, I know. Well, and she also talked about Puff and Pete.
And so your mom's into dragons.
Well, I don't know why. I don't know why we talked. Well, we watched Pete's Dragon when I was little. So I think it was more I was into dragons than she was.
That is terrific. So, you know, there was a rumor, and I don't know how real the rumor was, but I know I saw it multiple places. This was maybe 3 or 4 years ago that Disney had started work on a Phineas and Ferb version of Journey into Imagination. But again, I don't know how real that was. I know that... we have heard over and over again that at least the theater is going to be taken over by Inside Out. It would make a ton of sense for it to go there, would it not? I mean, it would make a ton of sense for Inside Out to take over that pavilion.
Yes, I think so. I don't think Phineas and Ferb makes any sense now, especially because they're off the air. There's no new seasons, and right. So they're kind of irrelevant. I mean, I loved Phineas and Ferb, don't get me wrong, but... they don't really do anything anymore.
No, I'm with you. And I think that Phineas and Ferb, For people that watched or that their kids watched, know that the signature episode was the roller coaster episode. I don't really think you could do that with that space anyway.
Yeah.
I think Inside Out makes a ton of sense for that space. I would be sad to see Figment go because I remember the old ride, but if the new ride is I mean, it's dumb. I'm at the point now where I skip it, and my wife rides it out of obligation because it was her mom's favorite ride.
Oh. Yeah, let's see. I don't think we rode it this past time. I think the last time I rode it was in October because none of my friends had ridden it before. So I was like, okay, here we go.
I only ride if there's no wait.
Yeah.
Oh, jinxies.
I agree with that too.
All right, what else is in the news?
So our last news story is our rumor, and this is something I'm super excited about. There is a possibility that Rey is finally going to make her park debut. There's not a time frame. There's not really any if it's going to be a meet and greet or if it's just going to be part of like one of the stage shows. But there was a posting on Disney's official auditions website for Rey lookalikes. So
I thought it was confirmed already that she was coming to the parks.
I mean, since they posted the audition, maybe that is confirmed. But as of now, there's, like, no details on what it is for.
I wonder what it would be for, because I would think they would want to keep the launch bay as fresh as possible in terms of the meet and greets.
Yeah.
But I can't see them... they're definitely not taking out Chewbacca. Chewbacca is too much of a draw. This could be I could see this replacing Kylo Ren, especially if in The Last Jedi, he's not even going to have the mask. It's going to be a completely different look for Kylo Ren.
Oh, really?
The trailer shows the mask destroyed.
Oh, that's true.
I don't know. I mean, I could see this being a replacement. This definitely would generate some real excitement. This is the kind of thing that would have me wait in both lines because I could not go into Launch Bay without meeting Chewbacca, and my daughter could not go in without meeting Rey.
Well, see, that's the thing. Like, I could not meet Kylo Ren ever again just because, like, when we went, it was just so awkward. And I know it was kind of supposed to be, like, intimidating, but not that I expected him to talk to me, but, like, all of my friends and I were just like, okay, first of all, we're all six giddy girls. And so we were just all, like, walking in there, and, like, he just, like, stared us down, and we're all like, okay, are we gonna take a picture?
Right.
Yeah.
Right. It's so without the ability to like actually interact, that meet and greet is just so dumb.
Yeah.
They won't let you. Dimitri, do you remember when we went to meet Kylo Ren and I went to like do a pose to make it look like I was like fighting him or something, and then I got yelled at and all I had to do was just stand there with my hands down?
I do. Have you seen have you heard Kevin's story? He was going to take a picture that Kevin was going to do like his throat like Kylo Ren was force choking him, and they freaked out about it.
Yeah.
So, go ahead.
Yeah, well, all of our friends were like, my friends were like, can we like force fight you? And he just, stared at us, but like there was so much tension, like we felt like idiots asking that question.
Right? Yeah. I mean, it's for kids. The only other thing I would like to see would be K2SO, the droid from Rogue One, would be a really fun meet and greet. But I think Rey really solves that problem of getting little girls to want to go through Launch Bay.
Well, and I mean, Rey is awesome. Like, she is my fave. So.
Yeah, I like her too. Did you know that at Shanghai Disney, you can meet C-3PO and R2-D2?
What?
Yeah. No way.
Yeah, it's like a full on. I mean, and it's not, you know, they're not behind anything. They actually interact with you and stuff.
Let's go to China, guys.
I know.
You're the travel agent. Make it happen, sister.
Okay, I'll try.
All right, cool. Well, that's a cool rumor. I would like to see that come to fruition. I think that would liven up the launch bay, and also, look, I think we have to acknowledge as Star Wars fans, these kind of things do need to appeal to our kids a little bit so that this level of love keeps going. All right, we are going to make the best of Disney's mistakes coming up in just a moment. Thanks for listening to the Extra Magic Hour.
everyone, it's Kat. We all know planning a Walt Disney World vacation takes a lot of time and effort. You gotta choose a resort, book dining, and choose fast passes. Well, I wanna take the stress out of your vacation. Book your vacation with me through Magical Travel and your trip planning will become as easy as pie. I'll take care of all the fine details for you at no additional cost. What's great about it is that you won't have to wake up early to get those hard-to-book reservations like Be Our Guest or Cinderella's Royal Table. I'll do my best to make your vacation the most fun and relaxing it can be. Even better, when you book a trip with me, I'll throw in a Disney gift card for you. Email me for a free quote at katarina@magicaltravel.com. That's K-A-T-A-R-I-N-A @magicaltravel.com. P.S. I also do all other Disney affiliates, so if you want to venture outside of the world, I will be able to help you there too. So what are you waiting for? Let's make your next trip magical.
All right, so sometimes on the boards, we get accused of being a little bit too negative, and I know that we have started a number of segments like this to show you that, no, we're actually good people, and so you probably don't believe us anymore. But here's what I figured we would do. 7 categories. We were going to look at the things that people often complain about at Disney and tell you why some of them actually are not that bad. So I picked out 7 categories. We're each going to pick an entry to each one. We will start with, I think we can all agree, especially Kat being a travel agent, I'm sure you hear a lot, that the All-Stars are probably the least popular resort in terms of I want to go back there. Is that fair?
Maybe. I don't really know because my family always stayed in an All-Star resort when I was growing up. So that's like all I knew until I got married.
But now that you're married and you are able to stay at other places, would you ever stay at an All-Star again?
Probably not, but that's actually what I recommend to families of smaller people who want to stay on a budget. So okay, well, I'm sorry, I'm a conundrum.
No, that's fine. That's all fair. But we can all agree that All-Stars are probably the lowest quality of the Disney resorts. Not that they are miserable, because you're right. I mean, they get the job done. That's all that matters. So we'll start there. Best All-Star resort.
Yeah. You want me to start?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, so I said All-Star Sports. It's the one that me and my family stayed at most often. I'm not a huge sports fan, but like for anybody who likes larger-than-life objects, I guess, and just having fun. These are, I mean, you're like on a football field with the X's and O's, like, so it's like you're actually in planning a game or something. But also, it's the first bus stop to be picked up and dropped off at the beginning of the day and the end of the day. Sometimes the All-Star Resorts have their own buses, but more often than not, they share all the resorts. So I'd want to be picked up first and dropped off first after a long day.
Yeah, the All-Star, the sports for that very reason, that almost was my favorite, but instead I decided to go music because I like the decor of music a little bit more. I like the vibe of the pool with Panchito right in the middle there. I like the piano pool as a quieter is not the right word, maybe just a smaller option, and I like the lighting at night in it All-Star Music, so that was my best All-Star.
I was gonna go music because I like the theming there the best, but I went movies because I like the Fantasia pool.
Alrighty. Next we will go with let's do best restaurant with a bad reputation, and we will start by doing the counter service restaurants in this category. I'll start. I will say that the studios, the ABC Commissary, actually, I think there are a lot of things on that menu that they don't do the best, but it is for a counter service outside of the hotels. It is the one where you're going to find kind of the most unique menu, if that makes sense. I mean, I know Sunshine Seasons at Epcot definitely has a more unique menu, but you really have to be seeking that out. Commissary is kind of the big central hub restaurant with the most unique menu.
I actually went with ABC Commissary as well. I really liked Yeah, I did. I agree with the menu, even though sometimes it's not the greatest food. I remember last time I went with my parents, me and my mom were able to split a sandwich because like the portions are huge. And like all Disney quick service portions are huge, but this was a huge chicken sandwich, so I liked that. And I also like the posters of the ABC, the shows on ABC, because I'm a nerd and I like that kind of stuff.
It's also fun to watch that restaurant change with the times of ABC in terms of the decor.
Yes.
And the decor on the outside as well. All right, sis, you got one?
Well, I don't really know. Aside from ABC Commissary, I've never heard of another quick service place getting a super bad reputation.
Pizza Planet.
Pizza Planet's true. Gone now, though.
Right, that's true.
Yeah.
Pizza Rizzo is not much better.
I've heard it's like the same thing, isn't it?
Exact same menu. The only thing, it's not even, for my liking at least, there's not even enough Muppet theming, but they do have an upstairs. I think I sent you a video of Andy dancing in the upstairs banquet room area that's supposed to be decorated like for a cheesy 80s wedding. Like, that's cute and fun, but overall, yeah, they didn't do much to improve on Pizza Planet.
The only thing I can think of, and I don't know if this place has a bad reputation, but out of all the quick service places in Magic Kingdom, I don't think it's the most unique, which is the Pinocchio's Village House. Is that the name of it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the only reason I'm choosing that one is because the past few times that I've gone there and wanted to get something vegan, they have made something completely up for me where it wasn't basically just sauteed vegetables on a plate. So I really appreciated that. Instead of being charged, you know, $10 for some steamed broccoli, they actually made me a meal.
Since they've gone to an all flatbread menu, I think it's a lot better than it used to be.
Yeah. I just don't like out of all of the, I mean, I don't know if it even has a bad reputation. It's not of all this stuff in Magic Kingdom.
Yeah.
I don't think it's like the top pick of most people.
No, I agree. I think that think that it probably has a slightly better reputation now that they've gone to a better menu, but you're right. I mean, Pecos Bill's never had a bad reputation, but now that they've gone full on Mexican, I think they have a really good reputation. Same with Columbia Harbor House. I think most people think that's pretty good. That it would just kind of come down to either Village House or Starlight Rays.
Cosmic Rays?
Cosmic Rays, yeah.
Yeah, and that one I think gets a bad reputation because of what's-his-name is in there and people like him. What's his name?
Sunny Eclipse.
Sunny Eclipse. I was about to say Sunny Lightyear, but I knew that wasn't.
Well, also, I think that one gets Cosmic Rays gets a worse reputation than it deserves because it is so crowded. Like, the food is no worse than anywhere else on property. It's just good luck finding a seat in there during rush hours. Next, let's do best restaurant with a bad reputation, table service. Kat?
I went with Tony's Town Square Restaurant. I think I ate there twice, and then one time when I was going with my mom again, I was like, let's eat at Tony's, and she was like, again? So we ended up not eating there. But I just like, I'm a fan of Italian food. I like that it's right on Main Street. I remember one time we ate, and when we were done, we walked out, and the Main Street Electrical Parade was like, had just started and was passing. So like, it was really cool to be able to just like, finish eating and then watch the parade.
Yeah.
And I like the Lady and the Tramp theme.
Yeah, I agree with you. To me, the food is, like, that's the only Disney restaurant I've been to where the food was just bad. But I do think the theme is unique. Like, who would have ever guessed they would have invested that much in a Lady and the Tramp themed restaurant? And also, location definitely works in its favor, for sure.
Yeah.
All right, so for mine, I had a tough time deciding between a lot of Epcot restaurants because I don't think Nine Dragons is very good, but I also don't think it's horrible. It's just I wouldn't pay Disney World prices for, you know, cheap Chinese food. Same with Teppanyaki in Japan. But I actually stayed in Epcot, but instead of going World Showcase, I went Future World. I went with the Coral Reef. Food-wise, Coral Reef has a really bad reputation. I don't think the food is terrible. And I also think it's one of those things that you have to do with your family at least one time. And the overall experience is better than just the food.
You know, I heard Coral Reef got a new chef about 6 months ago. And the food's supposed to be a lot better now.
Oh, good. I hope so. I mean, like I said, it is one of those things that, especially with kids that are still of the age that really love aquariums and sea life and that kind of stuff. It is the kind of thing I fight with, should we go, should we not? Because I know the food is always going to be at least disappointing. It's never going to be what you want it to be, but the experience is fun.
I See, I've eaten at Coral Reef twice, and I thought the food was delicious. Like, I loved it, and especially the dessert. So, I saw that on a list because I was like looking up what are the worst restaurants in Disney World, because I guess I just don't go out of my comfort zone enough to know. And I saw that on a couple of different lists, and I was like, I've always enjoyed Coral Reef.
Yeah, see, and I think you are probably more in line with what the average person thinks about Coral Reef, Kat. I think compared to the other signature restaurants, it's, at least to me, it's not as good.
Okay, I can see that.
But it's definitely, like, you are absolutely right. It's not bad. It's just, it's not as good, and it is super expensive.
I think, too, the same reason that we're biased with the Boathouse, I think is the same reason we feel that way about, because I feel the same way about Coral Reef. We grew up on the Gulf Coast. We've had really good seafood. And I think the price point that Disney puts it at, you know, it's like we've said before, like, we could have gone anywhere from where we're from and get the same thing at least the same quality, if not better, for a lot cheaper.
Yeah.
So that makes sense.
Really makes sense, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, so what is yours?
I'm actually, again, I don't know. I mean, I feel better about saying this because you mentioned it too, but I'm going with Japan.
Yeah.
What's the name of that restaurant? Yeah. I'm going mostly for, I can't say I've ever had like the actual entrees there. I always get the sushi there, but I'm more of just a raw fish person. I don't really do the fried rolls and stuff. Their fish quality is insanely good, and it's not that expensive for what you're getting.
Yeah, so. I think that Disney, this is kind of surprising, I think that Disney does sushi pretty good.
Yeah,
like by no means would I say it's the best sushi I've ever had, but it's definitely better than what you would expect at a big theme park.
It is, and sushi is one of my favorite things to get. And when you're going, if you're just getting a plain, you know, raw piece of fish on some rice, for one roll is usually about $5 a roll. And there, I remember I paid $8 and got like four pieces of yellowtail tuna, which I know it kind of sounds like a lot for not that much, but for a sushi grade fish, that is pretty cheap, and it was really great quality.
Yeah, I also will say, like, my impression of Teppanito is also based on the sushi, because I've never had the hibachi experience there, but I agree with that. I don't think it's nearly as bad as people make it out to be. That's for sure. All right, let's do, this was kind of a tough one for me to come up with, so let's go ahead and get this one out of the way. Best attraction most people are glad is gone. Does anyone want to go first, or should I go first?
I'll go first.
Okay, go ahead.
I really miss the old test track. Like, I am like, I don't know, maybe I'm just too nostalgic or something, but I really love that, like, we were acting as crash test dummies. Like, I thought it was really cool to go through all the different, like, street types, and then, like, then you actually thought you were gonna go crash, and then that you get sent out. Like, I just always thought that was fun, and I thought it really added to the story. I don't know, I'm all about being immersed into the stories of the rides, and
no,
so, like,
I'm with you. The first time I saw the new test track, I really thought it was an upgrade, and the more I do it, the more I start to feel like we've lost a lot, especially that last, the bus through the wall, it doesn't work. Like, it was a great joke, the way the old test track worked, and now it's just part of a thing you do.
Well, and I also liked the old queue, where you could, like, see how cars were made, kind of.
Well, and they did the very clever thing in the old queue of every pneumatic piece of equipment was queued up in a way that it created a little bit of music as you were walking through the queue.
Yes.
And now it's just got the generic Epcot soundscape.
Yeah, and I just think the new queue is so boring. And I know you can... I do like that you can make your own car. Like, I do like that part of it. But I just... I don't know. I thought the old track was just so much more fun.
Yeah. Sis, I want to give you the chance to go here. I know you need time to think. But I know as soon as I say mine, you're going to stop thinking, because you're going to agree.
Well, I have one already, and I'm kind of curious if it's the same one.
Okay. Delta Dream Flight.
I was thinking that one, but I went with something else, but that was on top of my
list. Okay, so I'm going to go Delta Dream Flight. I think that it was a this is, for people that don't know, it is where Buzz Lightyear Space Ranger Spin is now. I think probably as Space Ranger Spin gets a little more dated, people tend to remember Dream Flight a little more fondly. But when Space Ranger Spin went in, I think Ann and I were the only two that missed Dream Flight. It was the cheesiest ride towards the end of its life. I would say Ann and I went on it multiple times every trip we went, and I would be surprised if more than once there were other people that we could actually see on the ride.
Yeah. I think now, too, to me, Buzz has gotten very, very outdated.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like, as the older that gets with no sort of update, especially when you compare it to another Toy Story themed shooter attraction, Toy Story Midway Mania. Like, it just, it's bad.
I agree. And also, like, the Buzz Lightyear ride is more for the show. And I think a lot of people forget that there was a show, like, was a cartoon show.
Right.
I always forget until I'm walking in the queue and I'm like, oh, yeah.
You know what's funny is our godson used to watch the show when he was a little kid, when he was like 3 or 4, used to watch it all the time. And the last time we all went together, I said something to him about, oh, the LGMs from the show. He didn't remember there was a show. And he used to watch it religiously. All right, sis, what is yours?
I am going 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea. And I'm doing that only because they have put nothing there except a meet and greet for Ariel. And I think they could have done better with the space. And I think, I don't know, I liked the ride. I thought it was a classic ride. I liked it a lot. And the one at Disneyland, I don't really like the Nemo ride that they put in.
No, for me, the only reason I don't like the Nemo ride is because it just looks like they fit Nemo into the 20,000 Leagues ride. Like, they didn't, everything that happens in that ride happens because it fits with the space that was there for 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea.
Yeah, all they did was put a screen of Nemo in front of it.
Right. Yeah, no,
Isn't it the same as the Journey of the Seas with Nemo and Friends,
not exactly, but everything that happens in that one does happen in the Disneyland one.
Okay.
The only thing I would say, sis, about yours, I don't know that there are a lot of people that are glad 20,000 Leagues is gone. I think a lot of people miss that ride.
I think people miss it, but I think there are a lot of people that are glad that there's a spot to meet Ariel, though. So I don't know if people would be willing to forfeit a meet and greet with Ariel for 20,000.
That's a good point.
That's true. Ariel is one of these weird characters. Like, I don't think people realize just how popular Ariel as a mermaid is as a meet and greet.
Yeah.
Like, how long people have been asking for that. All right, let's do overpriced souvenir that you actually love.
Ooh.
I will start here. If I ever forget my sunglasses going down to Orlando, I know that you will never get a pair of sunglasses at Disney that is actually worth $35, but I will always happily fork over the money so that I can get a pair of sunglasses as an adult with Mickey Mouse on the frames. So that is mine, sunglasses.
So for Christmas, I bought my husband a rain jacket, and it was they had one that had Walt Disney World, but I got him the one that said ESPN on it, and I use that jacket more than he does. So, it was a pretty pricey jacket. I mean, obviously it was in Disney World, but even with my annual pass holder discount, it was still a good chunk of change.
You know what's funny? I'm always surprised by the number of people. Now, yours is a rain jacket, so that's not exactly what I'm talking about here, but I'm always surprised by the number of people that go down in November or February and don't realize that at night it does get chilly enough that you need something warm to cover up with, they will walk away talking about that they have to get their money out of a $65 hoodie that they got at Disney. Like, I always forget that there are that level of expensive hoodies out there from Disney.
But see, like, I think those are worth it. But I do. I wear my Disney World sweatshirt a lot. And so, and then I bought my mom a sweatshirt for Christmas last year. And I know she wears it a lot. So I think those are worth it.
No, I agree with you.
But so I guess I could add that as well, because I wear my sweatshirt like at least once a week, probably.
What about you, sis?
I'm going the Christmas ornaments. I think $20 for a little plastic Christmas ornament that you can get, especially the classic ones that you can get at Target or Walmart during Christmas time for $5 is just very, very expensive when they're anywhere from $20 to $30.
That was my number two, Anne, so I agree with you on that one too.
They're also very expensive considering, and I'm talking more about the balls and the bells here. They're also very expensive considering that, especially if you are flying back, you are very much transporting those things at your own risk.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's why you get it shipped home. Hello.
In hindsight, that's absolutely what we should do. Is there anything that is thought of as quality that you think actually is not a very good product? Souvenir-wise?
Wait.
Like the kind of thing that people buy thinking they will wear over and over again or use over and over again that actually you think are bad. How about just you would not even think about purchasing?
I would not purchase any other hat besides a classic hat because, I don't know, this is just me, but to me, Disney World is classic Mickey ears, so I wouldn't buy the Princess Mickey ears. Although I have been very tempted to, don't get me wrong, but I wouldn't buy any of the character ears, I guess.
I like you, was ready to take that hardline stance until I saw Kermit the Frog ears, and I folded like a cheap suit. I now own Kermit the Frog and I have C-3PO. You have R2-D2, right, sis?
Yeah, I have R2-D2.
Yeah. But it's funny you said hats, because I think nowhere makes a worse baseball cap than Disney World.
Really?
Yeah, I think they're too short on the sides, and I don't think that there's any design that once you walk out of the park, you'll feel good about having purchased.
Well, that makes me feel better, because I've always considered buying a hat, but then I always, like, talk myself out of it, because I'm like, I don't ever wear baseball hats, so what would be the point?
I was kind of, like, thinking of this yesterday. Like, do you think there's anybody in the world, and I'm sure there is, that, like, they buy one of those giant goofy hats or something, and they just wear it in everyday life? There's bucks on this. I'm going to wear it. You just see them, like, walking around Walmart or something.
Okay, I don't know if this counts as everyday life because it was a beach vacation, but... But sis, you and I, when we were much younger, did see somebody in the Destin Walmart in a Donald Duck hat. And I assume he was enjoying himself. All right, how about best attraction that is, or I'm sorry, bad attraction that is best for a nap?
Okay, everyone's gonna say it. Ellen's Energy Adventure.
Ah, that's what I had too.
I was thinking that.
It's 45 minutes long. It's an air conditioning. My mom said that that's where they took me and my brother when we were getting like rowdy or cranky or whatever, and we were in Epcot.
I mean, also in compared to like Dinosaur, like even the Dinosaur scene, it's not so loud that it would wake you up if you were trying to relax.
Right.
Yeah, I mean that's the obvious one. I would say that.
I didn't fall asleep. My one friend was nodding off during Muppets, so I almost said that.
I mean, look, Muppets has fallen into disrepair. It is not what it once was. That's fair.
It was my friend, not me, I promise, but I was just looking over and I was like, hello, wake up, this is hilarious.
I mean, I would say for the same reason, now not nearly as long, but for the same reason, really, Great Movie Ride is not a bad ride to take a nap on if you're not into it.
Yeah,
I can see that. Just not the shooting scene.
Right.
You have to wait until after the gangster or the cowboy.
The other thing too, the last one that I will say that I just want to dispel, because I think a lot of people thought when you were saying we're all thinking it, I wonder if anybody thought you were going to say Small World. Small World is a terrible ride to take a nap on because of the boat pile up at the end.
Oh, yeah.
you will be slammed back and forth out of your slumber.
Also, how can you sleep during that song? Like, if you just hear it for 10 minutes.
Yeah, that's true. All right, last one. Best bus stop.
You didn't let me go.
I thought we were all agreed to Alan's Energy Adventure.
Fine, jeez.
All right, well, have it instead.
No, it's okay.
No, please, sis.
I want to hear it.
I would say it's not a horrible ride, but it can be very boring if you're not into it. But Living with the Land, I think, would be a good one to take a nap on.
I can see it.
I like it because I'm into that stuff. But I think for people that are coming to Disney because they want to, you know, do the classic Disney rides and all this stuff, I mean, for a kid especially, I don't see them holding their attention for that long about crops.
I will say I liked Living with the Land better with the person.
Yeah, I do.
Same pavilion, but not good for a nap, although it should be, is the Circle of Life. Too loud. Otherwise, it'd be great for a nap.
Never done it.
We only did it one time when we were younger, Anthea.
Oh, we did?
Yeah, I mean, but it is, now you could have rows to your, like, you could lay down in there if you wanted to. If it weren't so damn loud, it'd be perfect for a nap. All right, last but not least, best bus stop.
I want to go last on this, so you guys gotta...
Okay, I will go first and hope I don't steal yours, because I'm worried I might.
Oh, gosh.
I think the best bus stop is Magic Kingdom.
You didn't steal it.
Okay, good.
So that's good.
Good, okay. Magic Kingdom, you are within range that you can look up and see some motion and some excitement going on, and also it's the only one where if your bus is not coming, you can always abandon ship and go another way back to where you need to go.
I don't know. I'm drawing a blank. I really
it took me a really long time to come up with mine, so I'll just go ahead and go.
Okay.
I said the Magical Express at the airport.
What?
Yes.
Okay.
Because listen to me. The first, well.
No. La.
I have a defense for this, I promise. So, especially now that you have your Magic Band, I remember, so I had just graduated college. It was the day after my graduation. We were headed to Disney World. We were at the airport. We have our Magic Bands. First time we had Magic Bands. And I had my Magic Band on, and then they were like, we need one person in your party to scan your Magic Band. I did it, and it was the greatest thing ever. And then you're just like, I mean, you're just so excited about finally getting to Disney World. It's just great. It's like...
That's it?
Yeah.
I mean, I've never... The reason I disagree with you is only because I have never waited less than 40 minutes for my bus after you get to that point where you scan for your Magic Band.
See, I guess we were just always lucky. The longest I've waited was back in October. And they were like, we got a bus for you coming up. Just wait right here. And then it took like 30 minutes for the next bus to come. But that was like the longest I had ever waited for the Magical Express.
Okay, I know this is also a Cry Me a River kind of thing, but because we've stayed on the monorail loop so often with my wife's job, it's always the last one to drop off. And again, I know that's a real, like, Cry Me a River kind of thing, but it is...
First world problems, Dimitri.
But I live in the first world, and they're my problems, damn it. All right, so, Anne, you're not going to contribute anything to this one.
No, I mean, I guess if I had to choose, I mean,
I would choose Epcot because of all the snack machine options.
No, but apparently you are.
I mean, again, I stay at the first world resort, so I don't even have to walk past the snack machines.
Look, they got a Pringle case. Can you blame me?
I'm sorry. I said that wrong. I don't get to walk past the snack machines.
I mean, I guess my obvious would be Magic Kingdom, too. But I think Contemporary isn't a bad one, only because you can. It's so close to Magic Kingdom that you, at the end of the night, you don't have to wait in any giant line at all.
Yep.
You can just walk straight back to your hotel, which saves you about an hour to 2 hours at the end of the night.
Dog video boards, too. That makes a world of difference.
video boards.
Those video boards are, well, they're, yeah, they're at every resort now, I'm pretty sure.
Are they? I thought they were only the monorail resorts.
No, because they were at Art of Animation in August.
No way.
I mean, October. And then they were at Animal Kingdom Lodge in March. Yeah.
Well, dynamite. Well, then forget it.
Yeah. So, screw contemporary.
All right, language messy.
Hey, folks, Kevin Kessler from the White Dragon Podcast Network here. One of the questions I get asked all the time is, Kevin, I want to have a podcast, but I have no idea what I'm doing. I don't know anything about audio equipment. I don't know anything about editing. I don't know anything about how to post and promote a podcast. Well, folks, you are in luck, because what if I told you there is a way you can have your podcast with minimal effort from you and still be a part of the White Dragon Podcast Network, joining the family of 9 all-star podcasts that are already broadcasting 7 days a week here on WDPN. For a free consultation, please send an email to kevin@whitedragonpodcastnetwork.com, and I will tell you personally how we can take care of everything from the production to the editing to the posting to the server space to promotion of your podcast. I want to welcome you into the White Dragon Podcast Network family, so please drop me a line, kevin@whitedragonpodcastnetwork.com. I look forward to welcoming you into the White Dragon Podcast Network.
Hello, I'm Storybook Julius, the White Dragon Podcast Network's resident Canadian and the host of Storybook Radio, a Walt Disney World and Universal Studios podcast appearing every Wednesday here on WDPN. Walt Disney was a storyteller, and well, so am I. Now, I'm not saying that I'm as cool as Walt Disney or anything, but I'm saying that if you're looking for a unique take on the Walt Disney World and Universal Studios theme parks, with immersive looks at their stories, backstories, and histories, you've come to the right place. Head on over to iTunes, Stitcher, or Podomatic to subscribe to and download the Storybook Radio podcast each and every Wednesday. You can also check out www.storybookradio.com for more details and more content.
The Extra Magic Hour is just about over. Aww. But first, it's time for the glorious 3-hour finale.
All right, so none of the three of us have been to Pandora, but we all know someone or have read reviews of what people's initial reactions have been as they've seen Pandora for the first time. And what have you heard, and what have you thought about what you've heard?
I have heard, well, what I thought is what I heard. What I was expecting to hear is what actually I heard. What? basically, what I've heard is that it is beautiful, but the rides, there's nothing special to the rides at all. I've heard the Flight of the Banshee is basically a copy of Soarin', just with a different vehicle. And then the dark ride is just, I mean, any other Disney water dark ride. I have heard it's very pretty, though, but it's just a long wait for something that in the long run was just nice to look at. And that was about it.
Yeah, I've kind of heard the same thing, that the real attraction of this land is the land itself, especially at night. One of the things I read in an initial review, and I think that we all have to accept that Disney these days is not worlds above every other competitor, that the reason that Universal does a lot of attractions built around screens for a reason, that reviewers were kind of put off by how much of especially the Navi River Journey is built around screens rather than animatronics. And
the Navi River Journey, I also heard that the screens are very, very obvious, too.
Well, I don't know how they wouldn't be, honestly.
Well, I think, I mean, when you look at something like Shanghai Disney and see how cool they can make it, and that they haven't done, and they had the time frame to do that here, too, and they just didn't. That's where it kind of like, when I heard that, it was kind of disappointing. Because you see how cool they use screens at Shanghai.
Yeah.
And then here, yeah, they just I don't know. It doesn't make sense to me.
Well, I'm going to reserve judgment on what exactly it is. Like, I had a feeling that we were entering this era of Disney is going to have to adapt to that reality of rides if they want to keep up with how quickly Universal changes things. I have heard that Disney actually has done a pretty good job of Harry Potter, the Wizarding World has their, you know, the wand is the thing everybody has to get. And I'm sure that Star Wars Experience will have its version of that. But I've heard that people have been very impressed with the Take Home Your Own Banshee program that Pandora has.
Dimitri, you stole what I was going to say.
What was that?
I was going to say the only thing I've heard good about is that the Banshee thing is the thing that is the takeaway.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean,
yeah,
that's...
there, too, you can create your own avatar doll, too. They scan your face and make you an avatar, and you can take it home.
Weird.
Do you remember at the Star Wars weekend one year, you could get yourself frozen in carbonite?
What? Oh, yeah, I do remember that.
It was the coolest
thing. Life-size?
No. It was like a little desk-size thing that you could take home, but I want to say it was like $60 to do it, and you weren't getting them there. They were going to be mailed to you eventually.
Ooh, that wouldn't surprise... Honestly, it wouldn't surprise me, one, if doing the Banshee and the Avatar doll was way more expensive than $60, and it also wouldn't surprise me if it was mailed to you, too.
The pictures they've got of the Banshee... It looks like you take your Banshee home with you that day.
What I thought, too.
That's just what it looks like. How much is a wand at Ollivander's?
I think it's like $30. Is it $30 or $60?
It's $30 for just your plain wand, but to get the interactive wand, I think it comes out to be about $60-something bucks. But think, too, I mean, that's just a stick with a light on it. The Banshee, isn't it like a little mechanical figure that moves? And I mean, you're basically taking home your own little animatronic.
I don't think it's that advanced, though. I could be wrong. I don't think it's that advanced.
I think they would want to make it a little bit more affordable, too. I mean, I know it is Disney World, so not anything does not have to be affordable. But because this is so new, you would think that they would want to put the price just a little bit lower, and then they can raise it in, like, 3 months or something.
Wow. See, I'm only thinking that it's going to be kind of expensive because when you think, like, for example, when you go and say you want to get, like, a pair of Minnie Mouse ears, the Minnie Mouse ears are almost $30.
Yeah, they're like $25.99.
Yeah, and that's just for a little pair of ears. So for something that moves and interacts with you, it wouldn't surprise me if it's almost $100.
That's the thing, too, is like everything you're saying, Kat, you're right. It does make a lot of sense. You would want to pull in as many people as you can and then raise the price. But the theme park world, this is not just Disney. The theme park world does not make any sense in terms of the way they price things.
That's
right?
True.
Like SeaWorld is in such dire shape, but they can't lower their price below a certain floor because then they send the message that they're not worth coming to. It's so weird to say it like that. I don't know how to make sense of what makes sense in the theme park world.
I have heard at Pandora, though, that I think the quick service restaurant, where it's basically you like build your own rice bowl. So it's like you pick what kind of rice you want, you pick the vegetables you want, and you pick the meat and the sauce you want on it, too. I have heard that's very good.
Okay.
Cool.
Okay.
Awesome.
Oh, look, Banshee, I just found the mini robotic Banshee is
$50.95.
Yeah.
Okay. Again, going back to nothing in the theme park world makes sense price-wise, that's not terrible.
That's what I was thinking, too. I was like, I mean, I wouldn't pay for that.
Right.
But
yeah,
it's not that bad.
Okay.
Cool.
Well.
Awesome.
Later, everybody.
Bye.
Aw, jinxies.